As we transition to the message, I want to say just a personal word about our presbytery. Our presbytery is in transition. They meet next week to seek to call a general presbyter, a kind of presbytery coach for the churches in our presbytery. They had a lady, Patrice Hatley, who was in that position for, I think, eight years and has just retired. We also, here at the church, Paul and I received requests from the Palm Harbor Presbyterian Church, from Safety Harbor, and from St. Andrews to help them in their transition as they are looking, especially over the summer, for people to be supply preachers. And I often am anxious about that because when we have Paul go away, like this week at St. Andrews, this week we had vacation Bible school, and I wore my mask all week so I could make sure to be here Sunday. I also tested twice and was negative. I took that from the script next door at Heritage because Pastor Matt, who was there the previous week, they had VBS, and on the Saturday he had to call and get an emergency person to preach for him because he came down with COVID. Paul did that, you remember, just a few weeks ago and had to call St. Andrews and say he could not come, though he had committed to do that. And so the first Sunday of August when he is there, I am wearing my mask the week previous to that, hoping to be able to be here. But there could come a Sunday when I have to be out and Paul is committed elsewhere. And so if you'd like to be a guest preacher, feel free to call me during the week if you'd like to be on emergency call. Today the sermon is entitled, Arise and Shine with Blazing Hearts. That was the signal verse, the verse from the lighthouse for the adventure that the children had this week at Vacation Bible School. That was the signal verse, Arise and Shine. The alternate title I would provide for you if I had to suggest an alternate title would be What Our Children Learned About This Week in Vacation Bible School. And one of the things they learned about was Moses and the life of Moses. That was their Tuesday lesson. And so I wanted to share with you something about what they learned and for us to share together as adults. But here's the reading from Moses chapter 3. I'm reading just the first 12 verses, just part of the passage they read and studied this week. Moses was feeding the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. I dream about those folks. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me, said God. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. Now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. And then again, I want to read the second reading is one verse, the signal verse from the lighthouse, which was the theme this week from Isaiah the prophet, chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Let us pray as we come to the message. O gracious God, illumine these next words by your Spirit, that we might hear what you have us to hear, and we would be who you would have us to be. We pray this for the sake of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Amen. Well, as you know, the story of Moses is both powerful and inspiring. It is a story that has stood the test of time. And it was one of the five signal light stories taught this week for our vacation Bible school. Again, on the Tuesday, they had this lesson about Moses. The elementary age children, on their particular lesson on Moses, I read their lesson all the way through, even their crafts, which were fun. And it began by asking the teacher to tell the students that Moses' life was a series of ups and downs. And that is so very true. We often don't remember it that way when we think about the life of Moses, but it was a series of ups and downs. You remember how the life of Moses began, how he was born to a Hebrew slave woman in Egypt. The Israelites, you may remember, had become so numerous that Pharaoh, in fear of them, ordered all the newborn males, Hebrew males, to be executed. And so Moses was saved from death because his mother hid him in the bulrushes in the Nile River in a basket. Well, just so happens, Pharaoh's daughter found him and wound up being adopted into the royal family, and he was raised with a proverbial silver spoon in his mouth. He had the best education, the best training, the highest privileges. Life as the prince of Egypt could not have been better. But then we often forget that suddenly his story changed. That kind of life came to a sudden end. Moses made a terrible mistake. It could be seen that way, of course. As an adult, Moses saw a fellow Hebrew being mistreated by an Egyptian. And Moses defended his kinsman. He got into a brawl with the Egyptian, and the Egyptian died. Moses murdered him. And then Moses hid the Egyptian's body in the sand, so we're told in the book of Exodus. And when the misdeed was discovered, Moses fled. He ran away. He left everything and went into the desert on what would become a long 40-year journey. He went to a place called Midian, and he hoped to lose himself there by living the life of a shepherd. You remember he married a woman there. Do any of you remember the name of the woman? Zipporah. Love that name. If you're looking for the name of a little girl, Zipporah. Zipporah. But anyway, he married Zipporah and began to live a life there. I remember many years ago seeing Michelangelo's masterpiece statue of Moses in Rome. And I'll never forget it. It was a brilliant statue. The carving is just spectacular. Even the hair of the beard, carved in marble, which is so difficult to do, was perfect. A magnificent, massive work of art. It almost, to me at least, appears like the Old Testament image of what God should look like. Muscled arms and legs, the shoes on Moses perfectly chiseled. The face has strength. There's vigor about the face, determination. There's charisma. You can see the purpose on that face as Moses sits with the commandments in his arm. I am told even to this day there are Jews that go around that statue on the Sabbath and worship and say prayers because it is such a realistic image of Moses, and Moses is so important to our Jewish brothers and sisters. But as you look at that statue, you feel that this incredibly powerful stone figure just might spring to life right before you. You should look it up. Michelangelo's Moses. It's a masterpiece of the sculptor's art. It does, however, not uniformly ring true about Moses in terms of what we read about him in the book of Exodus. We read about a different sort of character. Yes, a powerful leader. But the fact is that Moses was an escaped felon. He had his flaws. If he had stayed in Egypt, he would have suffered the death penalty for killing that Egyptian. And so he fled. The Bible records he also said himself that he spoke with a stammer, that he did not speak with an eloquent tongue, and God provided him with Aaron to be his spokesperson. We're told in the scriptures that he had a bad temper, that he was often cowardly and conniving. Not all the kind of man that you might peg to be the great liberator of the Hebrew people. And yet you will remember that out there in that desert wilderness, Moses met God. I imagine all those years of living as a shepherd and seeing that great Mount Horeb and hearing the thunder on it, as we're told in the scriptures, and the lightning flash, that had an impact on Moses' life, that those years were years that God shaped Moses for what he would use him for in the future. And we know that Moses met God in a scene that is now called that scene of the burning bush. It was an experience that transformed the life of Moses. Moses ultimately became one of the greatest leaders that the world has ever known. But the lesson for the children this week reminded them that when ordinary people are willing to become instruments of God, that God's light shines through them. Just like Moses, the call to each one of us is to trust God and to let God's light shine through you, through me. To begin to trust God, you see, becomes a great invitation for you and I to see and behold the amazing things that God can and is doing in our lives even now. And the same theme, that of using people who often are inferior in some way for a great purpose, that's a theme that occurs over and over and over in the Bible. Those women and others who had studied what my grandmothers taught me this past year, the women in the genealogy of Matthew, you saw how Rahab the harlot and Ruth and little Mary, the unwed mother, how God used all those women. God used King David, even though he had a lot of trouble with women, which was his own fault. God used so many people. That's a theme over and over. He used often the weakest, the most insignificant, sometimes the inappropriate people to do something grand. That's a story of the Bible over and over again. God took each one, made something grand of them. And the point is, as the children are told, that can happen to you, and that can happen to me. God seeks to shine in your life and make something grand of you. That's what the children were taught, that God is with each one of us, calling us, inviting you to do a good work for God. God is always calling. Like Moses, there are times that we may, of course, might not feel worthy. Times in which we may not feel up to the task. And Moses, there were times for him, I'm sure, that he walked through that dusty desert and perhaps felt sorry for himself and did not believe in himself. But the point is that God believed in Moses, and God was preparing Moses his entire life to flee his people. It's a story of the providence of God and how God uses not not just over the course of one or two years of our lives, but of our whole lives. The story of Moses reminds us that when God calls us and calls us, you and me, He gives us what we need to answer the call. Let me show you what I mean by the experience of Moses as a prince of Egypt. Moses, we are told, was tending the flocks of his father-in-law Jethro out in that wilderness place of Midian. There one day he encountered a burning bush. What caught Moses' attention was that this particular bush was burning, but it was not consumed by the flames. It did not burn out, if you will. And that was unusual. Moses was used to seeing shrubs and bushes burn in the desert, but this one was unique. And so Moses said, "I must turn aside." I love that phrasing. "I must turn aside and look at this great sight." Suddenly then, Moses heard the voice of God saying to him, "Moses, stop. Do not come any closer. Remove the sandals from your feet," said God, "for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." Here's the point. Moses would not have had this dramatic, life-changing encounter with God had he not taken that time to turn aside and see. From being alert and turning aside, he learned what God had in store for his life. Even though in our reading he said, "Who am I that I should do this?" And so the question I have for you this morning, are you ready? Are you ready to turn aside from all that consumes your life, all the circumstances, all the issues, all your wishes, all your dreams? Are you willing to turn aside like Moses did and be alert to God's call and claim on your life? I have found over the years that the one question people often come to me about over many years, a question that's repeated, is, "Pastor, what is God's will for my life? I can't discover God's will for my life." And most of the time in listening to people when they struggle with that is often I find they are more consumed about their own plans and their own circumstances than they are turning aside from all that is happening and being alert to what God is saying to them. It's complicated, I know, but oftentimes they are consumed by their own desires and their own needs and their own circumstances. Go back with me to this one story I want to share with you this morning. Go back with me to 1913. See in your mind a young man in his 30s who is seated at his study desk in Europe. He's an academic. The young man in his 30s already possesses, at that age, 3 doctoral degrees, 1 in music, 1 in philosophy, and 1 in medicine. On the desk in front of him was a little booklet that had come to him unsolicited through the mail. And the booklet was written by the Paris Missionary Society. Idly, he picked it up, thumbed through it, and his eye fell upon an article entitled, "The Needs of the African Congo Mission." And the bush began to burn. He read the article and he said, "Lord, I'm coming." He decided then and there that he would spend the rest of his life as a missionary in Africa. He arose and he let God's light shine and burn within him. And from that day on, a man named Albert Schweitzer, he proceeded through his humble missionary service to astonish and shame others in the world for not doing more. He gave his life to that African mission. He turned aside to see the burning bush, and the glow of it never left him. And I was always amazed as a young person reading and hearing stories about Albert Schweitzer. And I always wondered how God would speak to me and others, and how we would arise as he did and let God's glow come from within us. It is my prayer as your pastor that sooner or later in your life, if it has not already happened, that it will happen, or it will happen again, that you will have a burning bush moment in your life. I often think that happens more than once. Maybe it will come from listening to the words of some sermon, and your heart will be ignited from within, and you will make some deep commitments in your life. Or maybe it will come, that burning bush moment, in the embrace of a friend in some time of sorrow or heartache or success, and you will make some deep promises to them in your heart. Maybe that time of a burning bush when you encounter God will come when you are struggling against some temptation in your life, and you experience then the force of God moving in your life, helping you to defeat that temptation and helping you make a commitment to turn your life around. It happens all the time. I don't know what that burning bush moment will be for you, but I pray it comes. And I can tell you this, there will be burning bush moments in your life when God calls you, just as our children learned this week, that there will be times when we're called to arise and shine and let God shine through us to others. And remember, when he does shine through our lives, he often, like in Moses' life, he assigns a task for us to do and gives us a gift. He always gives us a gift to fulfill whatever task he gives us. There at the burning bush, the first thing that Moses heard was, "Moses, take off your shoes, for this is holy ground." But the second thing he heard was this, "Moses, I'm going to send you back to Egypt to free my people." A call accompanied by a task. The two are most often viewed together, not alone. You see, when you become sensitive to God, immediately you become sensitive to the needs of other people, not just your own needs. And God never calls us to do anything in life without giving us that gift, the ability to do it. And that's why I find I can come to this pulpit week after week and encourage all of us to remember that no one in all of history has ever captured the world's imagination as has Jesus of Nazareth. No one. There is no one else who ever lived like him. There is no one else whom so many people have sought to be like in their living and shine for. No one. I like the way Thomas Carlyle put it as I close. "Higher than him, thought cannot go. Jesus," he wrote, "is the best thing that I know." Let Jesus be the best thing that you know. And like Moses, God will do great things in your life. Arise and shine, for the glory of God is all around you. Let us pray. O Lord and our God, we thank you for this signal verse from the prophet Isaiah, "Arise and shine." We thank you for this beautiful story about the life of Moses and how it speaks to us. We think of that encounter with the burning bush and wonder, what will come from our encounters with God? What tasks does God have in store for us in the days ahead, both as individuals and as a church? Because we know that God still calls us. And every time God calls us, he gives us a task to do. And so let us shine. In Jesus' name, amen.